Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
What's good, Atlanta? This is the Blog Dirty Podcast, where Dirty Bird is the word. If you haven't heard, I'm your host, John Bueller, lead writer, fansided.com. Got a very exciting show for you guys today. Training camp is underway. It's going to be the last show of July, then we get into August when real football is going to be played, or a preseason football, if you will. But I appreciate everybody from Blog and Dirty Bird Nation subscribing to the show. So be sure to hit that like button like you're hitting the gap. Smash that subscribe button like you're running the exotic smash mouth. And let's have a really good time today. Really excited. The best part is, since we've had practices over the last week or so, I've got some takeaways from the early part of training camp that I think you guys want to hear. I may not be the most tied into everything with the Falcons, but from like a bird's eye view, I'm really able to provide some interesting context to some of the stuff that you're seeing out there on the interwebs. So without further ado, let's have a slice of pumpkin pie in July, you know, because why not? James Pierce Jr., apparently he's been getting into fights in practice. He got into one with center Ryan Neuzel, and he got into one with right tackle Caleb McGarry. Is this a bad thing? What if I told you this is exactly what the Atlanta Falcons have been missing? Okay, so the Falcons have 5 draft picks on this team. They have 2 first-round picks, Jaylen Walker, who went number 15 out of Georgia, and then the Falcons traded up to 26 with the LA Rams to get James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. Had Walker been off the board, the Falcons felt comfortable taking Pierce with that 15th selection. I didn't, but the Falcons certainly felt that way. They feel very comfortable about who he is as a person, who he is as a player. What I think you have to remember is, entering last college football season, this was a guy who was seen as like a top 10 lock for the 2025 NFL draft. You take that with a grain of salt, because we said the same things about Quinn Ewers, who fell to the Dolphins in the 7th round, and Carson Beck, who went back to college for his 6th year, transferring from Georgia to Miami. But Pierce was a guy that I had kind of been like hit or miss on throughout the draft process. Maybe it's the orange uniforms. Maybe it's the speed in which he plays. I kind of thought there was some sort of a Vic Beasley component there that kind of scared me. But it's become apparent that he's a little bit of a different cat. He's got an edge to him. He's got a lot of pride. He doesn't like being disrespected. So maybe there was a personality thing for why he fell to the Falcons to a point where they could train up to get him at 26. But here's my thoughts about this. I think everybody from the national media, everybody outside of Flowery Branch and Dirty Bird Nation thinks this is a big deal. It's like, oh, the Falcons, they don't know what they're doing. Once again, y'all can shut up. They know exactly what they're doing. I got a couple of pieces here that I think are very important with all of this. I think the first is the two guys he went after in practice, center Ryan Neuzel and right tackle Caleb McGarry. Ryan Neuzel is now it's going to be his first full season as a starting center for the Falcons. he ended up replacing Drew Dolman, or they split time last season. Dolman got hurt. Neusel came in as the former undrafted guy, really earned his keep with the team, enough to the point where the Falcons felt comfortable letting Dolman walk in free agency, you know, for the money. It remains to be seen what becomes of Neusel, but like, if this is what the team feels can help get us the best front five possible, then so be it. McGarry, who we'll talk about later on in the show, he isn't a contract year. He's playing right tackle, fantastic run blocker, can certainly be better in pass protection. Not only that, he's got to protect Michael Penix Jr.'s blind spot now because Penix is left-handed. So I think going after those two guys with certainly something to prove on the offensive line. You know, he's not picking on Matthew Bergeron at a guard, who I think is going to really step up. You know, again, this is a guy that kicked in from playing tackle at Syracuse. But you also notice he's not picking a fight with Chris Lindstrom at guard or Jake Matthews, the longest tenured member of the team. Like, if you did that, then you're just looking to pick a fight with everybody. But I think the other part about this is look at the position Pierce plays. Pierce plays outside linebacker, defensive end, pass rusher, however you want to label it. His whole job is to blow stuff up. Like, defensive linemen are usually some of the most, like, it's a different sort of position. It's like, it's a position built on failure. You know, so many times in a game, you're not going to get past the offensive lineman or the other blocker you have. You're not going to make the play. So when you make those big plays, you got to celebrate. It's kind of like a striker in soccer, if you will. You got to celebrate every little play that you can make at a position that the success rate's not through the roof. You know, if Pierce was playing another position, like maybe not offensive line, maybe not defensive line, like if this is a quarterback, that'd be a massive problem. If this is a receiver, that's an issue. If it's a defensive back, I wouldn't like it either. But if you're kind of in a position that's playing between the hash marks, it's okay. Like, again, this is a position based off of athleticism, not necessarily like emotional intelligence, IQ. You know, you don't have to be such a reserved individual there. Again, your job is to blow stuff up. And look, no franchise in the NFL has done a worse job of creating havoc in the backfield than the Falcons over the last 15 years. It's been a painfully long time since John Abraham played for this team. You have occasionally a good year like the Vic Beasley pop year in 2016. But I mean, even that was about a decade ago. It's been that painfully long. And I'll also say this. This also kind of comes on the note where, like, Jalen Walker's missed some practice. I think he's been held out, maybe injury. Maybe they're trying to maintain something. And Walker was always kind of coming in as a guy that, like, you know, his versatility, his leadership, his character, that's going to be like a pillar of this defense. Honestly, like, I'll be straight with you. Pierce just has better traits. Pierce always did, but there's a high variance sort of component with his game. So, and I think the other thing is he may emerge as a starter, but, like, again, he's got to back up Leonard Floyd, who is really embracing a leadership role at this team. I saw something else out there based on the progress of Braylon Trice coming back from injury and the entire pass rush for the Falcons. Like, it was a weakness. Now, there's a lot of depth there. It might actually be a strength. And, of course, you're banking on the likes of Braylon Trice hitting. You know, you're looking at Brandon Dorlus, Ruka Rojo hitting a defensive line. You lose Grady Jarrett. Someone's got to step up there. Again, I don't really like our defensive tackle situation at all. Maybe we'll be able to generate some pressure off the edge. But the Falcons have drafted and invested pretty heavily in that position group. Plus, you got guys like Arnold Ebiketie who have something to prove. The other point that I have here that I think is significant is, look, I think I saw D. Orlando Ledbetter's take on it for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And love him or hate him, D. Led's been a part of the Falcons beat for a very, very long time. He said, look, James Pierce Jr. is not like a wasted draft pick. This dude is a beast. This guy is just explosive. He might be volatile. He might be a bit of a powder keg. But, like, if you could harness that energy, I mean, you got a guy that could be, you know, a presence for the Falcons in the front seven for a very long time. And I think when you have a pass rusher that can do things that you always have to keep in the back of your mind a little bit, that puts worry and fear potentially in the minds of other quarterbacks. You look at who would play in the division. Okay, Baker Mayfield, he's a proven commodity. A little bit small, not super athletic, but like shifty, if you will, capable passer. A guy I think very highly of, thought very highly of out of Oklahoma. I'm pleased that he's been able to find success again in the NFL. Wish it wasn't with Tampa, but wherever you make it, you make it. We'll see if Bryce Young is going to be any good with the Panthers. Again, this is the year that he has to make it click. Panthers offensive line did not do a good job holding up versus in pass protection last year. They have a great receiving core, but Young is small. And if he gets beat up, that's going to be a problem. And then the Saints, I mean, Tyler Shuck may be a big body, but he might be Davis Mills. They should hope he's Davis Mills, because if he's Jimmy Clausen, then that's even worse for the Saints. That's a team that's probably going to be drafting another quarterback next year. It's going to be 4 years in a row for them with Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, and then your choice in the first round next year. So, no, I don't think Pierce getting into fights is a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. And this isn't some 2014 Hard Knocks nonsense under Mike Smith in his last year, where he wants people to be more tough, more physical, a bunch of fake stuff, like trying to instigate. This seems to be who Pierce is. He might get us a dumb penalty or two in a game, but would you rather have a guy capable of getting 10 sacks this season or not? And I'm certainly in favor of that with him. Again, I wrote about this for fansided.com. I listed out five rookies who've been really impressive thus far in the early days of training camp. I had him third. Definitely check that out. You know, there's other guys on there like Tyler Warren of the Colts, Trayvon Henderson of the Patriots. But yeah, definitely go look and read that article out there on fansided.com. But yeah, very, very high what Pierce could do. I'm glad I've finally come around on him, and I hope you guys have too. So let's move on to our next topic. Let's do a further calibration to the roster. You know, you talk about Mike Smith, you got to talk like Mike Smith. So Darnell Mooney is out with a shoulder injury, but in comes DJ Chark as a free agent. Are these intertwined or are they purely coincidental? It may be more intertwined than I want to believe, but I also think it's kind of coincidental. Look, Mooney tried to make a catch, landed on his shoulder, hurt himself. He's going to be reevaluated in a few weeks. He may miss the start of the season. Again, this is a big year that the Falcons were expecting him to take that next step. Nearly had 1,000 receiving yards. Again, he didn't come to Atlanta from Chicago for the money. Like, he came here to win. He came here to elevate his game. And this is a former, I believe, fifth-round pick out of Tulane. Like, he's got something to prove. But in comes DJ Chark, former standout with the Jaguars. I think he played last year with the Chargers. Another guy from LSU, wide receiver U of note. Has kind of gotten maybe he's contemplated retirement. Again, Jacksonville will do that to you. But what you have to remember is the day that Mooney got hurt, Chark was coming in for a workout. And it should be noted that his former Chargers teammate, Easton Stick, like, they were practicing and they were throwing routes with each other all summer, I believe, in Dallas. And Stick, who I think is the third string, we'll see what happens with Cousins. He's like, yeah, I think Chark can really play. And maybe he was able to articulate that to TJ Yates, Zach Robinson, Terry Fontenot, and on up. So I think once Chark was in for a visit, it became apparent, like, okay, you need to be on this team. Here's what's important for me. You can't let, like, an injury to a rotational or a role player like Mooney unravel you. Like, if you have an injury to Penix or maybe that's why you keep Cousins, though. But if you have an injury to Robinson or London or Jesse Bates, like Chris Lindstrom, like, that's going to suck for the entire team. You can't really replace that level of talent. But Chark's been a Pro Bowler before. Chark's been a guy who's been a focal point of an offense in the NFL and in college. And I think there's some members of the Falcons coaching staff who have Chargers roots. I believe the tight ends coach is like Koger. That's if I'm not mistaken. Again, I don't remember everybody's name on the coaching staff. Excuse me. But if you get him in here, this is a weapon that you can use to your advantage, one that the Chargers don't have. And I think this opens up an opportunity for Penix, Cousins, Stick, whomever, to build a rapport with this guy in case he's part of this receiving core. What you have to remember last year is Ray-Ray McCloud, was not going to be wide receiver three. He was like wide receiver four. He was kind of more of a gadget player, kind of more of a return specialist coming out of Clemson. Great player there for the Tigers, but he was not expected to be the guy in the slot. That was supposed to be Rondale Moore, the guy the Falcons traded Desmond Ridder to from the Cardinals, but Moore got hurt in training camp. And again, football is a sport of a next man up mentality. McLeod is going to have a bigger role in this offense now because he knows it. He's going to be in it for second year. Probably see similar things with wide receiver four, Cardale Hodge. Again, he might be more special teams, but we know his big time playmaking ability at receiver as well. But again, you got to have a guy that's going to create some sort of accountability for the defense, so they're just not all ganging up on London or Pitts for that matter. Chark may be more of a name at this point, but I think for the most part, like, this is a good signing. And I think the Falcons were going to sign him anyway, regardless of what happened to Mooney. But, you know, it may have just made it that much more seamless. I mean, when you bring in a player of that ilk this late in the game, you know, in preseason, you're hoping you sign him. Like, this is kind of what you did last year with Justin Simmons. It was like either the Falcons or the Saints, he picked us. I don't know if he signed thus far yet. He's been replaced here by Jordan Fuller. Remains to be seen what happens with him. But again, you have a new quarterback. You have a guy who can really rifle the pigskin in Penix, really fit it into tight windows. Chark is very good between the hash marks. Did that for years at LSU. Did it for years in the NFL. It's all about getting the rapport. It's all about moving the sticks, keeping the ball in your offense's hand, and giving your defense an opportunity to compete. Because the Falcons, if they're going to win, like I think they're going to, it's going to be because of the offense, while the defense has to kind of get to league average, if you will. Maybe slightly above, if we're being really optimistic here. But I don't think we'll see Mooney play at all in the preseason. He might miss a few weeks during the season. But, like, getting him back at some point is huge. It doesn't seem like it's a season-ending injury, thank goodness. But, yeah, getting Chark here, totally on board with. Again, this is one of those things where, like, you know, from a national standpoint, oh, it's like replacing him with that. Maybe Mooney's out for a longer period of time. That's not necessarily the case. This just kind of seems to get a guy who they think could fit into the context of this offense and really help it go over the top. So, yeah, I'm in favor of it. Be excited to see what he does for this team. If he's just a camp body, that's fine too, because the Falcons are not at a point where, like, oh, crap, we're without Mooney. We got nothing here. We might have something in the way to kind of backfill beyond London, which has me very excited about this team. So let's move on to our next topic here with some blow the whistle. Owner Arthur Blank talked at the early part of training camp, and he believes that the Falcons are really in a better place than they have been. So am I going to blow the whistle or blow the whistle? I think you could make the argument either way, but I'm going to blow the whistle, yes, in a positive. My logic here is some of your young players have matured. Like, you're looking at guys who are like Drake London, Bijan Robinson, maybe Michael Penix to some degree. Like, these aren't spring chickens anymore. This is going to be year five for Kyle Pitts. This will be year three with Jesse Bates on the team. Chris Lindstrom's going into the second half of his first decade with the team. This is year two for Raheem Morris as the head coach, Zach Robinson as OC, and so on. Another year of Terry Fontenot being the general manager. So I think you're hoping that the experiences you had last year count, and that you mature and you wisen up and you level up in some capacities. And I have noticed this a lot throughout my writing career covering the NFL. We know, like, rookies tend to pop, like, from year one to year two, like second year players, like the game slows down for them a little bit. And I think that's also the case for, like, a coaching staff. Like, when it's a new head coach, he's still trying to figure out the organization, still trying to figure out his role with the team. He's probably a really good coordinator, position coach, but now he's got to share this message to the entire team, as opposed to just a handful of players in the locker room and in a position meeting or a side of the ball sort of meeting and what have you. Yeah, we got to. Crazy part of Atlanta. We got dogs here. We got fire trucks, probably no trains, which is kind of odd, but that's neither here nor there. Thank goodness no leaf blowers or landscaping. Just missed them here at this house, me and the Arizona State podcast, your dog sitting out. But anyway, I think they're in a better place also from a financial standpoint. Look, you're paying Cousins a lot of money, but you also have Penix under contract in a team-friendly deal. At the early part of like Terry Fontenot's tenure with this team, they were in a terrible cap situation that was put forth by Thomas Dimitroff. First couple of years of this team, I mean, you had like a UFL roster. You didn't really have an NFL roster in a lot of capacities. But like you drafted well in some aspects. In other areas, you've kind of come up short. But like some of these C's are starting to produce fruit. They're starting to blossom a little bit. Some of these free agency additions are starting to fit into the culture of the team a little bit more better. You know, I'm talking like Jesse Bates III, Mike Hughes, Caden Ellis on defense, probably more than anything, Darnell Mooney on offense, what have you. But if I have to be straightforward with you, like it could go either way. Maybe it's wishful thinking from Arthur Blank. Maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, your part, all of us at Dirty Bird Nation and blogging Dirty Bird Nation. But you want to believe that the Falcons are in a better place because, like, look, they may not be the favorite to win the NFC South right now. People are still really high, really bullish on Tampa Bay. But, like, we know what this team's capable of. This is a team that completed the season sweep of the Buccaneers. Yes, they split with the Panthers. Yes, they split with the Saints. But they beat the top dog. And the first game of the season is going to be versus them at home. They're going to be without Tristan Wirfs. Got to get it. First couple of weeks of the season are going to be tough for the Falcons. I have made a prediction on what I think they're going to do record-wise. I'll share that out a little bit later on another episode, a preview episode, if you will. But, like, it's all in the context of, you know, over-under win-loss totals. And got to wait for the books to kind of even out there before I really figured out in that regard. I think they're in a better spot because, like, some of the chaos is set a little bit. Like, I mean, yes, you still have the old Cousins Penix thing. You had to get a new defensive coordinator. But Jeff Ulbrich, like Raheem Morris, has been here before. So you're not starting new traditions. You're not trying to figure out, you know, where do I want to live in Atlanta? Where are my kids going to go to school? All of that stuff. It's kind of more like, okay, I know where I'm working. I know where my office is. I've worked here before. This isn't that – it's not going to be that challenging. So, yeah, I think they slightly are. But, like, man, this team's got to get it this year.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
So let's move on to the second half of our show with some two legit Pitts. Kyle Pitts' first few days at training camp were eventful, but kind of in a good way. So we know that he did not show up to voluntary minicamp earlier in the spring or summer or what have you. He did show up to a regular or mandatory minicamp. Shows up to training camp. Again, this is a contract year for him. He's playing out his fifth-year option with the Falcons as the former number 4 overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft out of Florida. The Mackey Award winner has not had a season quite like his first year at the team, probably because Matt Ryan's not throwing him the ball. But we've seen him coming into camp in really good spirits, pretty energized, in really great shape. And apparently he's really, really tight with Michael Penix Jr. Like they're golf buddies. And I think that, like, we saw this last year that Penix wanted to make a point to get this guy the ball and made that fantastic play at the goal line to keep it interesting versus Washington. Could have had one, should have scored versus the Giants. But, you know, when you're playing a bad team, sometimes you're not all the way in. But I've also heard that Pitts was lining up at receiver at some point. And I think that's the other thing. The Falcons coaching staff has a better feel for what he is and what he's capable of as a tight end, as maybe an oversized receiver in the context of an offense that Zach Robinson runs from the Sean McVay coaching tree, like very 11 personnel, like three wide receivers all the time, one tight end, one running back. Maybe they'll do some two running back sets a little bit more. Maybe they'll be not as predictive lining up. I think it'd be cool to have Robinson and Algier out in the field at the same time. Really mess with people's heads. But again, like, this is Zach Robinson's – this is only his second year as the as an offensive coordinator. Like, he was a quarterback's coach on the LA Rams. And even that, like, you're – Sean McVay is calling the plays there. You're in a more elevated role because you're playing for a defensive-minded head coach in Raheem Morris. Yes, Morris had been a receivers coach here in Atlanta, coached all over the place, but, like, we know his defensive backs kind of where he cut his teeth as a coach coming out of Hofstra and all that stuff in his playing career, coaching career as well. But I don't know. I feel like it's been mostly positive when it comes to Pitts up to this point. I think he knows what's expected of him. I think the Falcons know what's expected of him. There seems to be alignment. There seems to be like, okay, 1 year, let's make it happen. And there's a little bit more continuity here. You know, he knows who his quarterback is. He's seen his quarterback. He's played a game with his quarterback. He knows, you know, who else is going to be great at the offense. And I've interviewed Pitts before, very likable guy. I don't necessarily know if football is always going to be a top priority for him. Seems to be a guy with a lot of interests in and outside of football. But, like, he's a mega talent, physically gifted. I don't think like, he'll get a second contract somewhere, maybe not in Atlanta, but he'll play in the league for about a decade. You know, a lot of guys like to get to year 10 for the it's impressive to say that to people who played this sport, but I also think there's some sort of retirement thing where, like, certain incentives kick in if you play in the league for 10 years or whatnot. Again, I don't know the ramifications of all of that with the NFLPA and the CBA and all that other stuff, but, like, it does seem as though Pitts is going to have a strong year. I don't know if that means I'm going to draft him in fantasy football or if I'm going to play fantasy football. Just really don't have the time or patience for it anymore. Doing so much in the college NFL game within my writing career and also being in a serious relationship. You know, you get older, life's hard. There's only so much time you have. But I think that, like, the center of focus is not on Pitts right now. There's other areas of the Falcons that are like, okay, is Penix going to make it happen? Pierce is getting in fights with people. What's going on with Mooney? What's going on with Walker, et cetera? How are these other players, you know, these second-year players like Trice and Rojo doing? Like, how are we going to make this better? But I do think him, you know, being golf partners with Penix, spending a lot of time working on their friendship on and off the field, I think that's very important. It's all about rapport. Look, I know Penix has really shown really strong accuracy outside the numbers, can be a little more precise within the numbers, but if you're able to find guys that, like, isn't just your safety valve, like, Drake London's going to succeed in this offense no matter who's throwing him the football. But if you have other people out there who can make plays that you can count on in crucial situations, you know, that's what made Matt Ryan era Falcons football so successful. You know, at his peak, you always had three guys out there who could do it. You know, I would say his best years were, you know, with Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Tony Gonzalez. Like, Tony Gonzalez's career winding down, Roddy White in his prime, and Julio Jones ascending. And even if the guys like, you know, Mohamed Sanu or Austin Hooper or somebody else like of that caliber who has been great here, That's what you're hoping for. Just a guy you can count on. And if Pitts takes this game up to another level, then that makes the Falcons better for this year. I don't know if that necessarily means we're going to extend him. I don't know if that necessarily means what he's going to make in the open market. Maybe he's a franchise tag candidate. Either way, I think everybody is aligned that knows that he needs to have a good year with this team for his football future to be, viewed positively, maybe ever so slightly. Because if it doesn't make it happen this year, then that's four down years in a row. And your money-making years are probably over, and you'll be in the league, but like you're not necessarily going to be you'll kind of end up like Tre'Davious White with the Bills. Like you'll go somewhere else, maybe you'll come back. You're still kind of chasing the early years of success in the NFL. You have the ability to play in the league for a decade or so because you're that talented, that physically gifted. But, you know, you sit there and with the Bills, you're like, yeah, this guy was great, but why did we trade back with the Chiefs? We could have had Patrick Mahomes. We got Josh Allen a year later. That's neither here nor there. But, yeah, I think things seem to be looking up there with Pitts for sure. Well, let's move on to our penultimate topic for the day with some big Penix energy. Michael Penix Jr. has set the bar insanely high by saying the Falcons should lead the league in everything offensively. One step at a time, man. I think he's chomping at the bit. He's so excited. He knows the talent around him. He's excited about the opportunity to be the face of the franchise. And I think he's got the composure and you know, the quiet confidence, the swagger necessary to be a huge hit. Well, let me tell you when I say this. I don't think there's – like, if Penix becomes a star in Atlanta, that's huge not only for the city, the fan base, but the entire league. Like, this is a guy who was so much fun to watch and cover in college football, first to Indiana and then at Washington. He is in a very – he's part of a very popular draft class. Six first-round quarterbacks. Six guys off the board in the first 12 picks. Right now, two guys are ahead of the curve. Jaden Daniels with the Washington Commanders and Bo Nix with Denver Broncos. Both are Pro Bowl caliber players, both led their teams to the playoffs. The Commanders have a guy who might be the best thing to happen to them since Joe Gibbs way back in the day in Daniels. And then Nix has really helped the Broncos stabilize. They can build. I don't know what his ceiling is. But the Broncos aren't going to be bad. They're going to be a playoff caliber team. You got Penix in a group with two other guys, with Caleb Williams of the Chicago Bears and Drake May of the New England Patriots. Showed signs of promise. Team kind of disappointed. There's room to be had. There's growth to be had, but it's still pretty good. And then there's the complete unknown with J.J. McCarthy with the Minnesota Vikings. Again, I'm the biggest J.J. McCarthy hater known to mankind. Really dubious on him being a success there in Minnesota. Eventually, I'm going to be right with them, but like, just not very high in the Vikings at all. Not very high in what he can do. Kevin O'Connell's great. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah just drafts without consequence. He just makes things happen. But Penix, maybe I'm more biased because he's playing for my team, the team that I love, the team that I cover, the team that I know the most about. I've interviewed him before, likable, soft-spoken guy, but definitely a foxhole guy. Definitely has a lot of those leadership traits that you're hoping and wanting. Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head coach, his head coach at Washington said, like, this is the best leader I've ever coached. This is a guy that took Washington to a national championship. That's amazing. Like, Washington's kind of like, it's like the ultimate stepping stone job in college football. Like, it's the best job you leave for another job for. Like Xavier on the men's basketball side of things. That's just their lot in life. I hope UW does better than that. But Penix really separated and elevated during his 2 years there in Seattle and his time in Bloomington before that. Penix is also 25 years old. In a serious relationship. Maybe he's engaged or married. I'm not exactly sure. Whatever it is. But the point is, he's got stability at home, and that's good. He's been given the keys to the franchise. I think Cousins is going to be a good mentor to him in this role. And again, Cousins has always been a team guy. It's just, you know, he's a really good player and money talks. But to say the Falcons are going to lead the NFL and everything offensively, that's a tad ridiculous. just because I don't think anybody does this. I mean, I don't know if the 2016 Falcons led the league and everything. Maybe the 99 greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams. Like, I don't know if we're going to be that. Like, to lead the NFL in every offensive category, like, you need to have, like, your team, like, that era needs to have, like a nickname tied to it. Or it needs to be, like, an outlier season in some capacities. I think the running game is going to be very strong. Bijan Robinson's in his prime. Tyler Allgeier's in a contract year, as is Caleb McGarry out there at right tackle. We know what Chris Lindstrom is. We know what Jake Matthews is. They're here. We need to see Matthew Bergeron, and we need to see Ryan Neuzel take a step forward in the offensive interior. Falcons are still able to run the ball, even with potential issues outside of Lindstrom in three middle spots along the offensive line. Penix needs to be more accurate, again, as a passer. He can really spin it, but, like, a little more touch. But I also think that there may be a little more creative play calling there from Zach Robinson, knowing that he might be dealing with a more physically gifted quarterback in Penix than Cousins. And, again, there's other guys out there that are physical freaks. We know what Drake London can do as, like, the next Mike Evans. Kyle Pitts was an absolute physical freak there at tight end for Florida and first in the league. Bijan Robinson, I mean, that's like the next LaDainian Tomlinson. No wonder why I love this guy so much. Apparently, we've been saying his name wrong. It's more like Bijan. Bijan, it's like, I don't want this to get stuck in my head. I'm just going to say it how I say it, and that's how we do it. People know who I'm talking about. But anyway, like, I think the Falcons, to have the success that they need this season, they got to have a top 10 offense. And I don't know if that's going to be like top 5 in run, top 5 in passing, whatever split that is, but, like, it needs to be a top 10 or 12 unit, because the defense at best maybe is like top 20 or top 16. We're not there yet. There's just not enough playmakers in that side of the ball. Maybe Jalen Walker becomes that. Maybe James Pierce Jr. becomes that. Maybe Braylon Trice is a huge asset. Maybe Arnold McKinney has a career year. Maybe Rue Carrojo is next Grady Jarrett. There's just so much unknown. Whereas with the Falcons offensively, there's a lot more that we do know. I love Penix setting the bar insanely high here. And I'll finish with this. This is a segment with this. Back when I used to write about the NBA a lot for fanside.com, there was a theory I had. It's called the Damian Lillard theory. When he was at the peak of his powers playing point guard for the Portland Trailblazers, Matt Ryan was probably this too. At any point in time, was Damian Lillard the best player in the NBA? No. But did he think he was? Yes. And that's what made him so good. Matt Ryan as well. 2016, he was probably the best player in the NFL. Was he ever the best player quarterback in the NFL? I don't know. Really good. But that's why Lillard's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and that's why Ryan's going to be in the Hall of Fame. That separating factor. People doubt you. Use it as motivation. You make it happen. That's all you can really hope for. Penix seems to have that, but with a little bit more physical skills. So he's got so many good mentors here. Cousins in the locker room, TJ Yates, the quarterback's coach, Zach Robinson is your head coach or your offensive coordinator, Raheem Morris. Matt Ryan's not that far away. And then obviously Dave Archer's in the building there up in Flowery Branch, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But there's people out there who can be in Penix's ear, and he can listen to him. I'm really excited what he could do. I don't know if we're going to have the best offense in football, but it'd be crazy if we did. And then finally, we're going to do some look good, feel good, play good, pay good. Glad to see that Deion Sanders did beat bladder cancer. What's up, Coach Prime? Hope you have a great year out there at Colorado and Boulder. You know, I don't know if you're going to go 9-3, but let's get back to making a bowl game. Hopefully you have the right quarterback here. But I'm going to give the latest on what I think about the contract extension front for Drake London, Caleb McGarry, and Kyle Pitts. So Drake London, I believe, is entering year 4 out of USC. Caleb McGarry, a little bit older, but he's played through 2 contracts. I think this is year 7 for him out of Washington. Was 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Yeah, 25, year 7. And then Kyle Pitts is in year 5 out of Florida. This is his fifth year option here. Again, McGarry was not given a fifth year option because he was also draft classmates with Chris Lindstrom. Got to make the money work, but they still gave him a 3-year deal. And I think all three of these guys have different sort of vibes here. And again, like, I've read a little bit about what Terry Fontenot knows how to say about this. I don't necessarily know if I've got it all figured out, but there's some stuff here. I'll work my way down here alphabetically. London, McGarry, and Pitts, and we'll close the show out here in probably about a few minutes or so. When it comes to London, he's going to get paid. We saw Garrett Wilson get paid with the New York Jets. And as soon as somebody in your draft class gets that benchmark and you're in that same vicinity, again, Wilson, I think, has been a higher-end player for a little bit longer in a more chaotic situation with the Jets, but I think London's kind of got a better career trajectory just because I think he's got a better quarterback throwing him the ball with Penix as opposed to Justin Fields right now. And I think what I heard about London from Fontenot is timing is everything here. They know that they got to get a deal done with him. Again, he's got the fifth-year option, so he's got this year and next under contract. It may be entering next season, but again, he may become more expensive by that point. But the timing of it all is important. You get the right money amount, the right guarantees, the right things on paper, because as soon as you put pen to paper, somebody else is going to reset the market or be on the high end. And I don't necessarily know if you want to get entangled with the Terry McLaurin nonsense the Commanders are doing right now, or a guy who's been very productive but is not on the same level as Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson. Those are guys that reset the market. I don't even know if there's another receiver out there who's poised to do that, who's on their echelon. But London could get something, and I think that they will figure it out. Maybe it's before the start of the season. I think probably the way that we've seen it happen more with Fontenot is it happens after year four, ahead of the fifth year option season. We did it last year with AJ Terrell. So again, they do figure it out. It's too logical. It's a homegrown player. No reason not to extend him. Huge part of this team. I mean, I name my fantasy team when I do play after London Calling. Also, The Clash is awesome. Definitely check them out if you don't listen to them. So that's how I feel about London. McGarry is probably the more complicated of any of these. Again, he's been with the team the longest of these three players. Former first-round pick, never a Pro Bowler, just a really solid player. Probably at best the third-best player along the offensive line for the Falcons. Does a lot of things well. There's things about his game that's incomplete. But, you're better off having them than not. It all comes down to the money. What is very important to understand, he was also dealing with an injury apparently during the early part of the offseason. That's why him and Cousins and Pitts weren't there for voluntary minicamp, just mandatory stuff. Also, McGarry's from Washington State, so the other side of the country, I get it. The other thing that's really, really, really important to understand here with Caleb McGarry is he's protecting Michael Penix Jr.'s blind side now. They're not going to switch up the offensive line alignment to account for Penix. This is because, it's all about continuity. And I think the best example I've heard about why you don't do this is from former Pro Bowl guard of Washington and the Denver Broncos, Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champion. He says, when you switch sides, particularly as a tackle, your hand placement's different. It's like trying to wipe your ass with the other hand. You can do it, but you just don't trust it. It's like, I got to do everything that was right is now left and vice versa. So McGarry's been practicing his role as right tackle here for the Falcons for a very long time. Really the guy that replaced Ryan Schrader, if you will. Yeah, hard to believe it's been that long since he's played here. But if he can keep Penix upright, then he's going to make himself a lot of money either from the Falcons or somewhere else, because Penix is expected to have a big season and he needs to have one too in a contract year. Again, we know that McGarry is a fantastic road grader, fantastic run blocker, allows you to run the ball all over with any sort of design you want. So he'll always have a place in the league because he can do that at a very high level. And again, this is something that he developed very quickly under Arthur Smith. Again, some players couldn't figure it out. Jalen Mayfield had no clue. Terrible pick. Probably the worst draft pick I've seen this team make in a very, very long time. But McGarry eventually got better. But it's a new elevated role. But again, this is going to be year seven for him at a UW. If he wants all of his football dreams are ahead of him if based on having a season of success he can have here. And I'm not going to – like, if injuries happen, you can't account for that. But if he's out there, he needs to play well. I think he – and everybody knows it. Big opportunity for him here. I hope he makes the most of it. And then with Pitts. Pitts is playing out his fifth-year option season. Again, I mentioned that, like, he could be a franchise tag candidate. But, like, I don't necessarily know if he needs to be the average of the top five salaries in his position group. That being said, like, I think he's had, like, 600 receiving yards in back-to-back seasons – from the tight end position. There's only like five other guys across the league who could do that. I think four or five other guys. I think that's like George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Trey McBride. I think Sam Laporta is another one. So he's in good company, even though he's bringing up the rear in that regard. If he has a great season, he may outprice himself here at the Falcons. Again, at that point, like, if you want to bring him back, Cousins has to go. The money's got to work. The pie is going to grow, but only at some level. Only so quickly. Not quickly enough. If he plays poorly, you could potentially bring him back. Do you want to bring a guy back after four down years for minimal value? Probably not. And at that point, you're probably looking to draft a tight end. You know, you're looking at, I don't know, Eli Stowers out of Vanderbilt. He might be the best tight end in college football now. Max Clair at Ohio State's really good too. Hopefully I'm saying their last names right. I know I will be at some point. Those guys can really play. And then you have the opportunity to sign him. You can let him go to free agency. You could use the franchise tag. The Falcons typically don't use the franchise tag. They kind of get out ahead of it with extending players. That serves them in some aspects, but they also end up in issues that have played the Cowboys, where you play your homegrown talent of good players, great money, and then it looks bad down the line. Again, you want to reward your high-end investments. And I would say, like, Pitts coming out of Florida, like, he was seen as, like, a unicorn, but Brock Bowers came out a year later for the Raiders. And with Brock Bowers is different. Go Dogs. So I think with all three of these guys, with London, McGarry, and Pitts, the notion of them all potentially needing deals is on the mind of Terry Fontenot and everybody in the front office. Kyle Smith's also talked about that too as the assistant GM. I would say, like, London's back for sure. I would say between McGarry and Pitts, they both could be back, but like there's like a less than 50% chance of that happening. I'd say probably a 25% chance of that happening. But you flip a coin, like, I think one of them will be back, maybe not both. But again, we're talking about guys that were studs in college. They were all first round picks that, we're talking about giving them more money. So there have been signs of promise for all three of them. Interestingly enough, Pitts is the only one who's been to a Pro Bowl of them. If you're not thinking about it, but like they've all showed moments here with the Falcons over the last several years. Like, this dude can play. Like, this dude's not a scrub. Like, this isn't like, oh, we completely whiffed on this pick. No. These are all guys you can build around. It's just all about figuring out for what dollar amount. And that's really important in all this. Yeah. This was episode 52 of the Blog Nerdy Podcast. You can follow me, John Bueller, on Twitter or the X at Bueller118. Yes, right here. Check that out. I love going back and forth with the toggle switch here. It even allows me to put lead writer at fanside.com on there too. Looks so official. Looks really cool. You definitely check that out. So, you follow me on the X at Bueller118. Be sure to read all of my work on fanside.com. Again, I cover the NFL, college football nationally. A little bit of baseball too, even though my Atlanta Braves are an absolute tire fire right now. No reason to watch the game. I'm so mad about Acuna. We're just not going to talk about that here. And Grinholms is done too. So that's just dandy. But football season's coming up here. Again, my teams are all Atlanta based. So Falcons, Georgia, Braves, Hawks, Atlanta United. That's kind of the teams that I support. Maybe not soccer as much as I used to. Love to see us get an NHL team at some point. Just very, very ATL here. Be sure to read all of the work here on blogandirty.com. You can follow all the stuff on social media at blogandirty. And then you can follow us on YouTube Yeah, definitely keep subscribing there. It's Blog and Dirty FS. You know, be sure to, you know, like, rate, listen, subscribe, review on, you know, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere there's podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. Spotify, Apple really helps the show grow. Again, I think last I checked, we're at 334 subscribers. We gradually picked this up, and I really appreciate all the love and support I've gotten out of Blog and Dirty Bird Nation the last couple of weeks. This show has been really picking up the last 5 or 6 weeks. It's all because of you. But again, like, I always leave a comment there on YouTube. Like, you can leave a you can, like, let me know how you're feeling if you want to have a question answered on the next show. Again, this is coming out usually 11 a.m. every Wednesday. The show is really growing. Producer Sean's been a big fan of what we're doing here. Can't really complain, but yeah, we're gonna have our first preseason game coming up here in a little over a week or so. I think we play the Lions. I think you got the Hall of Fame game here coming up as well in Canton. So yeah, I don't necessarily know if we're gonna be doing like a recap show after the preseason, but like I guarantee you, I'll be doing this with you guys once a week for every week for as long as you'll have me. Once again, thanks for listening. And this is the Blog and Dirty Podcast.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.